KKAL, Cuba Station News.
The
now.
Nation's capital is looking more like a fortress. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. Sweeping security measures are in effect as the mayor of Washington, D.C. urges people to stay away from next week's inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden.
Street after street is blocked off, and on just about every corner of the downtown business district, massive military vehicles and National Guard troops. As the FBI warns about potential armed protests ahead of the inauguration, security in D.C. appears to be even tighter than what we saw in the days after 9/11.
Fox says Jill Nato, as authorities investigate the Capitol attack, an internal Capitol Police intelligence report issued 3 days before the riot warned of a scenario in which Congress itself could be targeted by angry supporters of President Trump. Portions of the report were obtained by the Washington Post. Meanwhile, suspects continue to be rounded up nationwide.
We do not tolerate violent agitators and extremists who use the guise of First Amendment protected activity to incite violence and wreak havoc.
Special Agent Matthew DeSarno at the FBI's field office in Dallas. Federal prosecutors say some 275 cases have been opened. As coronavirus cases surge nationwide, President-elect Joe Biden is pledging to vaccinate 100 million Americans during his first 100 days in office.
His vaccination effort will rely on the Defense Production Act, and the next president stresses meaningful relief isn't possible overnight. The effort announced is separate from his $1.9 trillion stimulus package.
Fox's Peter Ducey. As China battles a stubborn outbreak south of Beijing, another hospital has been built there to house a growing number of patients. America's listening to Fox News.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-573-9552. That's 800-573-9552. 800-573-9552. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
He maintained his innocence to the end. Dustin Higgs was put to death last night for the 1996 murders of three women at a wildlife refuge in Maryland. His death was the third execution this week at a federal prison in Terre Haute, Indiana, the 13th since federal executions resumed last year following a 17-year hiatus. Hazmat crews were called to a university in Nebraska after authorities say a student tried to make the deadly poison ricin.
The female student at Creighton University, whose name has not been released, said she was attempting to harm herself. Police and fire officials responded and ordered about 50 residents in the dorm to leave because the materials to make ricin, which can be deadly if consumed, inhaled, or injected, were still in the student's room. The CDC says there is no antidote for ricin poisoning. Access to the campus hospital where the student was taken was also temporarily cut off. The school now says on Twitter that a hazmat team has cleaned the area. Students can now return to that dorm. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
We've been hearing about the $1,400 stimulus checks that are part of President-elect Joe Biden's nearly $2 trillion coronavirus recovery plan. Another part of the plan is a hike in the federal minimum wage to $15. On Friday, fast food workers who earn minimum wage walked off the job.
In Chicago and 14 other cities across the country, they want $15 minimum wage. Joe Biden says he'll give it to them, but small businesses, they're going to be killed raising the minimum wage, doubling it in the midst of a pandemic. But Biden is going to be caught by his progressive wing who say not only do we want an increase in the minimum wage, we want it to be at least $15, and we want it right now.
Jeff Flock with Fox Business Network. I'm Pam Puso, and this is Fox News.
Traveling on 66, both east and westbound in Fairfax, it looks like the work zone at 123 has just been cleared away. All lanes had been blocked, but looks like traffic is now getting through. However, inbound on 66 at the Roosevelt Bridge, the two right lanes closed due to the numerous inauguration closures. All traffic is forced to the left side of the ramp, and the ramp to Ohio Drive is closed, so heads up if you're traveling in that area. Also in the district, Montana Avenue is closed between Bladensburg Road and 18th Street in Northeast due to a broken water main. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Changes have arrived for the weekend. This morning won't be too bad, temperatures in the 30s with a mix of sun and clouds, but this afternoon will pop off in the mid-40s with mostly cloudy skies, and a stray rain or snow shower isn't out of the question. Back near the freezing mark with increasing winds and partly cloudy skies tonight. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
This is Elaine Mick, owner of Cabinet Discounters. While stuck at home these past months, you've probably noticed many things you've wanted to change for years. Are you tired of your old kitchen or bathroom? Is there enough storage space? Do you need a home office workspace? Do the kids need their own space to school remotely? Well, Cabinet Discounters can help. You can get started right now on our website, CabinetDiscounters.com. We'll find hundreds of great ideas in the photo galleries of projects we've actually done. And download our free planning guide to help you get started. When you're ready, call or visit one of our 7 showrooms for a free consultation with an experienced designer. You can create a project that's uniquely yours and that fits your budget. Call now for a free consultation or go to CabinetDiscounters.com.
Check it out at CabinetDiscounters.com. That's CabinetDiscounters.com.
Cabinet Discounters. Great quality, great price.
Dad, I got us Cash 5 with Easy Match to play.
Easy Match? What's that?
It's a Cash 5 upgrade.
I don't know why your generation has to have all these new bells and whistles.
The new Cash 5 has a daily growing jackpot starting at $100,000. And for just a buck more, you could win $500 instantly with Easy Match.
How about that?
Was that a whistle pop? Where's your bell?
The new Cash 5 with Easy Match from the Virginia Lottery. Odds of winning jackpot, 1 in 750,000. Odds of winning the Easy Match top prize, 1 in 84,000.
The market is constantly changing. The Marketplace Minute keeps you up to date 1 minute at a time. When you're just waking up.
Alexa, play Marketplace Minute.
All operators file for bankruptcy.
On your way to lunch.
Hey Siri, play Marketplace Minute.
Says it's been spending more on hiring.
Right after you tuck in the kids at night.
Hey Google, play the Marketplace Minute.
Or upward swings in indices in Europe.
The Marketplace Minute, a podcast and smart speaker briefing updated 3 times daily. Ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute. Listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Okay, parachutes ready.
Boy, the things I go through to get auto loan rates as low as 1.39% APR on new vehicles with PenFed.
You are aware that you don't have to be a military member to save hundreds on your auto loan, aren't you? Anyone can join PenFed.
As someone terrified of heights, I probably should have looked into that.
Probably.
Drop me off at the shore.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/autos or call 1-800-247-5626. Advertised rates available through the PenFed Car Buying Service. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL. Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you for joining us. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. Obviously, inauguration week is ahead of us, and the impeachment week is behind us. We will look at both of them. One note, if you're planning to go into Washington, D.C. anytime in the next week, why don't you scrub that idea? As of this morning, they will close the 14th Street Bridge, I-395, on Tuesday. 13 metro stations closing. 26 bus routes are now detoured on Metrobus, and all of the museums on the mall are closed. And what, we're 5 days out from the inauguration? Okay. Plans right now for protesters are to allow 2 zones for protesters, maximum capacity 100 people per protest zone in the week ahead. Okay. Well, the impeachment did take place this week. I'm not sure how much time you spent watching any of it during the week. you know, a lot of people have talked about the notion of how trivialized impeachments are now. This is President Trump's second, and there'll probably be another hearing. That's something to look forward to in the weeks and months ahead. But CBS News found this week's impeachment hearings so important that they were already back into their regular afternoon talk programs, not carrying the impeachment hearings. Now, wouldn't you think if there were an impeachment hearing and an impeachment decision to be made in one day that a network news organization might carry that all day long? But no, CBS opted for the talk in the afternoon with Sharon Osbourne and friends. So that shows you how important impeachments are anymore and how trivialized they have become. Now, a lot of sound came out of the impeachment this week, and we've got one montage here, which is both sides of the aisle. It starts with Nancy Pelosi. You'll hear Eric Swalwell in there. You'll hear Jim Jordan. You'll hear Kevin McCarthy. You'll hear a number of the congressmen and women who were on both sides, and here's a bit of what it sounded like.
We know that the President of the United States incited this insurrection. He must go. He is a clear and present danger to the nation.
Yes, we can argue back and forth, but you're using this as a weapon.
If it continues, it won't just be Republicans who get canceled. It won't just be the President of the United States. The cancel culture will come for us all.
And you're destroying this little experiment in self-government.
America is still under attack, and that's why Donald Trump must be impeached.
Today, we invoke the remedy the founders provided for just such a lawless president, impeachment.
Some have cited the metaphor that the president lit the flame. Well, they lit actual flames, actual fires.
Donald Trump is a living, breathing, impeachable offense.
The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters.
The president's immediate action also deserves congressional action, which is why I think a fact-finding commission and a censure resolution would be prudent. Unfortunately, that is not where we are today.
Now, I'm not sure how much of it you were able to watch, but I did find that the presentations by the Republicans were varied. There were a number of different approaches they took in their defense. But if you were to watch the Democrats' presentations, it's pretty much the same old story. You heard Hakeem Jeffries in there that what President Trump is a walking impeachable offense. That's a real mature approach to things. You may have heard Adam Schiff in there, the old lawless president approach. Adam Schiff still has not produced that evidence that he has of the Russia collusion, the evidence that he touted for 3 years and misled the country. Nah, we haven't seen that evidence yet, but he's one to call the president lawless. I did really appreciate some comments, though, from Congressman Tom McClintock of California. And here's what he had to say on the floor of the House of Representatives during the impeachment hearing.
His exact words were, quote, "I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard," unquote. That's impeachable? That's called freedom of speech. If we impeached every politician who gave a fiery speech to a crowd of partisans, this Capitol would be deserted.
Good point. You know, I've been calling it an impeachment hearing. I wouldn't call it an impeachment trial. Maybe that's what the technical term would be, but I didn't call that a trial because there was no evidence presented and there was no defense. I called it a hearing. I guess you could just call it plain old impeachment because that's what happened. I could call it a lot of other things, but I won't this morning. Darrell Issa, the congressman from California, of course, he is back, by the way. I'm sure you may be aware of that, but if not, we do recall that Darrell Issa had left the Congress 2 years ago. Well, he ran for election once again this past year. He won. He is back in the House of Representatives. He appeared on Fox News the evening of the impeachment, and I think Daryl Issa really sums it up very concisely in the interview that he did.
Well, it's clear they convicted him before they tried him, and they tried him before they indicted him, and they indicted him apparently on an action done by anarchists who they knew about a day before the president made his speech. One of the challenges that we're seeing is that we now know there were as many as four separate extremist groups who planned mayhem, who came with weapons and ill intent, and for whom the president's speech had nothing to do whatsoever. So, you know, they may be trying the president for his 4 years, but they're not genuinely trying him for a single speech. And that's what history is going to show, is we may not like what the president said that day or for the previous 4 years in some cases, but it is very clear that this is simply revenge of Nancy Pelosi. She would try him for anything at this point to further mar the record and make political gain.
That's Congressman Daryl Issa kind of summing things up. You know what I find interesting is that there are poll numbers out. Now, this is from NBC News, okay? This is not a Fox News poll or a Breitbart poll, no. NBC News poll out this week. Now, the poll was conducted January 10th through the 13th, and that was just before the impeachment vote, but it was after the violence at the Capitol. NBC News poll shows that only 8% of Republican voters support the second impeachment of President Trump and his removal from office. The House of Representatives, of course, voting to impeach Trump this week. And 89% of Democrats, 45% of independents questioned in the NBC News poll that came out on Thursday, 45% of independents, 89% of Democrats support impeaching and ousting the president for allegedly encouraging the storming of the Capitol. Very interesting numbers. And I think for the Republican establishment on Capitol Hill that's eyeing the opportunity to throw President Trump under the bus, as Liz Cheney did this week, for those establishment Republicans and staff members thinking about sort of putting Donald Trump in the rearview mirror, keep in mind, according to NBC News and their polling, only 8% of Republicans supported the second impeachment. So the establishment is going to have to acknowledge that there are actually people who still support President Trump. And I don't think the divorce that many in the establishment would like to see is going to happen, or should happen anytime. It may very well happen, knowing these guys, but it shouldn't happen. And I do hope they realize that there are people out there across the country that need to be considered, and not one's own political ideas, which so many people, when they get to Capitol Hill, sort of become isolated. Get inside the Beltway and look out. Remember that populist movement that elected President Trump and generated over 70 million votes for him this year. Keep that in mind. 6:18, this is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Getting reports of an incident on the Beltway inner loop between Ritchie Marlboro Road and Allentown Road. Watch out for some possible debris in the roadway, and you may find a lane blocked. In Bethesda, Wisconsin Avenue northbound between Cordell Avenue and Chase Avenue, the two left lanes are blocked due to a water main break. And also, there is a water main break in the district on Montana Avenue. That is closed between Bladensburg Road and 18th Street in Northeast. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Changes have arrived for the weekend. This morning won't be too bad, temperatures in the 30s with a mix of sun and clouds, but this afternoon will top off in the mid-40s with mostly cloudy skies, and a stray rain or snow shower isn't out of the question. Back near the freezing mark with increasing winds and partly cloudy skies tonight. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
We are at 6:19 on the Saturday Morning Update, and the temperature in the nation's capital, 36 degrees. Great to have you with us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you for joining us. And some of the things going on out there that are somewhat worth talking about. Federal law enforcement agents have arrested a Florida man, and they've charged him with trying to organize an armed response to pro-President Trump protesters who will be expected in Tallahassee at the Florida State Capitol on Sunday. The U.S. Attorney's Office announcing yesterday that the FBI has arrested Daniel Baker of Tallahassee. Authorities say Baker issued a call to arms on social media to recruit people in a plot to create an armed circle around the pro-Trump protesters and trap them in the Capitol complex using firearms. Court documents describing a series of threats of violence toward pro-Trump supporters and a prediction of civil war that Baker made on social media. He is quoted as saying, "Remember that the cops won't protect us because the cops and the Klan go hand in hand." That's a post that Baker wrote on Facebook, an event page that he created. Funny they didn't take that one down now, isn't it? Here's an interesting story. You may have heard this week that the Secret Service was paying $3,000 a month for a porta potty at the residence of Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump. You may have heard that story. It was in the Washington Post. The tally was $100,000 to date, according to the Washington Post. Well, the story was that the Secret Service was not allowed to use the bathrooms in the home of Jared and Ivanka. So, in an unusual move this week, the Secret Service denied that report. The agency response came several hours after the Post published the article on Thursday. They had cited neighbors and anonymous law enforcement sources. I love those anonymous law enforcement sources who describe how the agents assigned to the Trump-Kushner family had sought bathrooms to use elsewhere around the city's elite Kalorama neighborhood, also home to the Obamas, because the Post wrote, quote, "The agents were kept out at the family's request. The White House denied it, and then the Secret Service denied it." So you may have seen that story. You probably didn't see the story about the denials, because that's hard to find online. Pretty amazing how hard they make stories like that to find online. That's just one interesting note this morning. Now, the president-elect has now pledged to boost supplies of coronavirus vaccine and set up new vaccination sites. He has a goal of 100 million shots in 100 days. Now, if President Trump had come out and said, "We're going to inoculate 100 million people in 100 days, President Trump would have been criticized. He would have been accused of misleading and misinformation. So now the president-elect has laid it out. That's his goal. 100 million shots in 100 days. Now, I do say that he qualifies it with a goal, but by putting that number out there, you better hope he gets 100 million shots in 100 days. And I think we should keep an eye on that and mark your calendars 100 days from today to see if he makes the goal. And again, I only mention that because if it was something President Trump said, like, "We'll have a vaccine by the end of the year," and he was tortured over that, and, oh, what happened? We had vaccines by the end of the year. Fancy that. It's 6:24. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. We've got a lot to cover this morning. We'll be talking with Jim Trusty. Of course, he's the former chief of the crime and gang section at the U.S. Department of Justice. A great legal background with Jim Trusty. And among the things we'll discuss with Jim this morning are the new release of documents that came out in the Russia probe. We're going to talk with Jim about the legal aspects of the impeachment this week. And obviously, he was at DOJ. He is now in private practice. He is a defense attorney. And we'll ask Jim Trusty how he would defend the president in the impeachment trial. That's just one thing we're going to catch up on this morning. Now, we've got more poll numbers we'll get into with Jennifer Harper this morning. I think you'll find them interesting. If you look at the top of the Amazon bestseller list in books, you'd be amazed what's up there. It's been shaped by recent events. Jennifer will tell us about that this morning. We're going to talk with John Gizzi. Obviously, we'll get his impressions of the impeachment. And also, we'll be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer this morning about the exculpatory evidence that seems to have been left out of a lot of the process in the Russia investigation. And we're also going to be talking with KT McFarland and how that whole investigation impacted her career, the former deputy national security advisor at the White House. Cheryl Atkinson will join us, and she's got some very interesting insights into research that's being done right here in the Washington area on vaccines and the coronavirus and other viruses. That is all to come between now and 8 right here on the Saturday Morning Update.
The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is still at the lowest level in 50 years. I'm Mark Livingstone with Cornerstone First Financial, and it's now more important than ever to work with a friend you can trust. As a mortgage broker and lender, we can guarantee to meet or beat any competitor on this very station, or Cornerstone will pay your mortgage for an entire year. Some restrictions do apply, but call now at 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or online at cornerstonefirst.com. Listen, these rates will not be this low forever. And when the pandemic is over, it's the housing industry that will bring the people out of this and bring the economy back. Do yourself a favor and call the only company that delivers what it promises, not some window rate with a bunch of points attached. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com.
Fast Wi-Fi. You use it to connect just about everything, which means having really fast Wi-Fi matters. A lot. That's why Xfinity is breaking the gig barrier and introducing Wi-Fi speeds faster than a gig. That's a big deal. It's a big deal for streaming big games, having big meetings, and making big plans. It's a big deal for families with one kid, or two kids, or three kids, especially if there's one kid who has enough devices for 10 kids. It's a big deal for gamers who are streaming while someone else is posting about their virtual spin class. And yet, it's also a big deal for a quiet Friday night in. So get in on Wi-Fi speeds faster than a gig. That's more than enough speed to power every device in the house. Can your internet do that? Introducing gig speeds over Wi-Fi. It's the fastest Wi-Fi you can get, and it's only from Xfinity. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store to learn more. Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
With the Reynolds team, selling your home right means putting the most possible money in your pocket. Of course, it makes sense. Hi, Larry O'Connor here. I've been telling you about Sarah and Debbie for a long time now. I trust them. I refer them whenever I can. I'm even a satisfied customer. Here's what you need to know and what sets the Reynolds team apart from all the other agents who just sell your home. Sarah and Debbie sell your home right, mastering the home selling process for over 30 years. Not just selling, but selling right, serving their customers, getting 6% more money or $32,500 more on average. By now, you know DebbieHasTheBuyers.com is not a gimmick. It's a fact that they may already have your buyer in waiting. Here's the game changer for anyone interested in putting the most money in your pocket. Sarah and Debbie guarantee to sell your home at 100% of your asking price, or they'll pay you the difference. Like Gary in Potomac, he sold his condo in less than a week at $12,000 over the asking price. Do what Gary did. Call the Reynolds team today, 844-344-SOLD, 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com, DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Hello, beautiful. I'm Amy Arrett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. We've heard from thousands of women about hair color, and the number one question is how to find the right shade. With Madison Reed, we guarantee a perfect shade match or your money back. It's easy. Take our online color quiz to determine your perfect shade. See yourself in your best shade with our online try-on tool, or call our licensed colorist 7 days a week. Our ammonia-free hair color delivers gorgeous, soft, shiny, multidimensional, healthy-looking hair with 100% gray coverage. Enjoy two great ways to get Madison Reed hair color. Visit a Madison Reed color bar or shop madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code DC. That's code DC. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
In the headlines this morning, the State Department says the Wuhan lab researchers may have had COVID in the fall of 2019. They say they have reason to believe that scientists had been infected with the coronavirus, but Beijing has worked hard to prevent a transparent investigation into the origins of the virus. In a statement, the agency indicates that it thinks several researchers inside the Institute of Virology in Wuhan had symptoms consistent with COVID-19 and other seasonal illnesses. The prosecutor who is leading the investigation into the mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol says that authorities have no direct evidence that the rioters were plotting to assassinate officials. Those comments coming from the acting D.C. U.S. attorney, Michael Sherwin, yesterday afternoon. Now, that was in response to statements made by prosecutors in court papers filed in the case against one of the rioters. He is Jacob Chansley. Now, the paper said that there was strong evidence that the mob intended to capture and assassinate elected officials, that in the court filing, but the U.S. attorney, Michael Sherwin, backed away from that claim. He told reporters that authorities have, quote, no direct evidence at this point of kill capture teams. Sherwin suggesting the claim was the result of a disconnect between federal authorities or possibly the prosecutor in Arizona acting on information that was not yet known to be official in Washington. Federal safety officials are investigating people who took part in the riot at the Capitol to decide whether they belong on the federal no-fly list. The move is one of several that officials outlined yesterday. They say they are increasing security at Washington area airports leading up to the inauguration this coming week. 6:32, it's time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
On the inner loop of the Beltway between Ritchie Marlboro Road and Allentown Road, getting reports of a vehicle fire along the right side, so stay to your left and use caution there. Also in Loudoun County, there is an accident that has Hamilton Station Road closed north of the Charlestown Pike, so watch for police direction around that. Heading inbound on 66 at the Roosevelt Bridge, the right lane is closed because of the closure of the ramp to Ohio Drive. Many closures in the area of the National Mall due to inauguration preparations. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Changes have arrived for the weekend. This morning won't be too bad, temperatures in the 30s with a mix of sun and clouds, but this afternoon will top off in the mid-40s with mostly cloudy skies, and a stray rain or snow shower isn't out of the question. Back near the freezing mark with increasing winds and partly cloudy skies tonight. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
36 degrees in the nation's capital at 6:33.
Many schools are still using remote online learning, so do you worry about the quality of education your son is getting? Vince Colonnais here, and I want to tell you about Fork Union Military Academy. They are now accepting enrollments for an in-person classroom experience with classes starting this January for their spring semester. Located in Central Virginia, Fork Union Military Academy is one of the nation's leading college prep boarding schools for young men in grades 7 through 12. Would your son learn better with a bit more structure? Fork Union's unique one-subject plan curriculum really works to help students reach their full potential. In fact, 100% of their graduating seniors gain college acceptance. Plus, Fork Union emphasizes traditional core values like respect, integrity, faith, character, and discipline. Help your son thrive at Fork Union. Learn more about their spring semester enrollments for a safe, on-campus, in-person learning experience, guaranteed to help your son achieve success in the classroom, in athletics, and in life. Visit ForkUnion.com. That's ForkUnion.com.
New Year's resolutions. We all make them. We all break them. That's why your small business needs more than resolutions. It needs solutions. And you can get them with Comcast Business. Whether you want to work more efficiently with fast, reliable internet and advanced Wi-Fi, make your business safer with powerful cybersecurity solutions, or stay productive with 24/7 support, we've got the solutions you need for your business to get there. to make this year's resolution better solutions. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution from Comcast Business starting at $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get free installation when you order online. And for a limited time, ask how to upgrade to get a $500 prepaid card. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go to ComcastBusiness.com today to find out more. Prepaid card offer ends 1/24/21. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business internet and One Voice Mobility customers. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra. Subject to change.
It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Great to have you with us, and it's always great to be joined by Jennifer Harper. And, of course, she writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
In the time since the events at the Capitol, there's been a lot of controversy. There have been a lot of comments made on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans. A lot of people are questioning what's going to happen next. As you look at the polls, what are you hearing about how conservatives are feeling these days?
Well, I have a poll here that's very significant probably for a lot of our listeners. And this is a big, huge Gallup poll, and it is revealing that conservatism is still the preferred ideology in the United States. And actually, its popularity is on the rise despite all of this drama and brutality and everything else that's gone on. That's disturbed everybody. This is a constant. And here comes our Gallup analysis. Americans' overall ideological views were about the same in 2020 as they were in 2019, with 36% on average identifying as conservative, 35% as moderates, and 25% as liberals. This is according to a Gallup poll. It's a big Gallup poll. It's actually an analysis of 18 different polls that they conducted throughout 2020. Of 18,398 U.S. adults, and in many ways, conservatism is a hardy ideology. That's an old word, hardy. Last year, 40% of Americans said that they were conservative. It fell to 34% in May and June, but it came on the rebound and ended up with a 36% identifying as conservative throughout the year. So, if you are conservative, you have a strong ideology backing you up there. Among the parties, among Democrats, 51% describe themselves as liberal, 35% are moderate, and 12% are conservative. Among independents, 48% are moderate, 29% conservatives, and 20% are liberals. And with our Republicans, 58% identify as conservatives, 20% as moderates, and 4% as liberal. The takeaway message here is that despite everything that's going on, conservatism is still the top ideology in the United States, according to a Gallup poll of 18,000 people.
So the inauguration is coming up this week, and quite a stark contrast between COVID-19 and the security measures being taken in the national capital. Since you've been covering inaugurations for decades, give us a little bit of a contrast as to the mood of how things were at prior inaugurations.
Yeah, well, let's think about that. You're right. I confess, I've covered a lot of inaugurations. I've actually covered every election since 1996, so that will tell you something. But anyway, it's sort of cheerful in this dire time to remember some of the news coverage and the whole mood of the city when there was a presidential inauguration, no matter whether it was Democrat or Republican or who you were, because there would be lots of coverage of the galas and parties around the nation's capital. There were, you know, fancy maps, commemorative programs, a big rollicking parade, the grandstands draped in red, white, and blue bunting, and just, you know, lots of glittering celebrations, celebrity guests, and so much talk about the major hotels and historic sites like the National Building Museum. That was a big player in the Reagan inauguration. And G. Willikers, I'll have to confess, I saw some of that way back in the day. But anyway, they were all lauded for ambiance and style, and the U.S. Capitol was the place to be. And, of course, that is not so true this time. We have a lot of guests, but 20,000 of them are troops there to help our law enforcement folks locally, and a lot of the law enforcement folks who come in from out of town, and we certainly thank them for that. And again, that's 20,000 National Guard troops are going to be helping out on Inauguration Day. But it's good to remember what came before and probably what's going to come back again.
You know, every year when the Super Bowl comes up, there's a lot of talk about who's going to sing the national anthem. Who's going to be singing the national anthem at the inauguration?
Well, President-elect Joseph R. Biden's inauguration campaign has announced that pop singer and star Lady Gaga is going to sing the Star Spangled Banner. There's not an indication as to her style or delivery or where she'll be or if it will be virtual, because I know that the inauguration is a virtual celebration this time. But somebody has asked a very pointed question here about when Lady Gaga goes to sing the Star Spangled Banner. And this is coming from David Eng. He covers entertainment, celebrities, and other matters for Breitbart News. He says, will she take a knee for it? And of course, he's referring to a lot of sports teams and celebrities and so forth who do take a knee when the Star Spangled Banner is played. So I thought it was an interesting question and certainly a cultural moment to watch.
Many people have been commenting over the past week on the double standards in terms of the media covering the violence in the summertime versus the violence at the Capitol. And you've written about one particular commentary.
Yes, I have. And this is coming from Thomas Sowell. And I always pay attention to him. He's just so smart and sensible. Anyway, he's also a syndicated columnist and absolutely a seasoned observer of all things around him. This is what he had to say about the coverage of the riot. He said, it is amazing how many people seem to have discovered last Wednesday that riots are wrong, when many of those same people apparently had not noticed that when riots went on for weeks or even months in various cities across the country last year, he says, for too many people, especially in the media, what is right and wrong, true or false, depends on who it hurts or hurts politically or helps. Too many media people who are supposed to be reporters act as if they are combatants in political wars. Someone once said that in a war, truth is the first casualty. That has certainly been so in the media and in the academia, and he's reflecting on the different types of coverage, and certainly coverage that we saw of the riots last week were a lot different than some of them that took place earlier in the year.
From what we've seen of the press conferences from law enforcement this week, I would expect that there will be some severe penalties handed down for those who have been identified as causing the mayhem at the Capitol. You have a legal expert you spoke to. What's his take on it?
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, there's dozens and dozens, if not a couple of hundreds, of investigations going on right now. And I do have a comment here from Frederick M. Lawrence. He is the distinguished lecturer in law at Georgetown University Law Center, and he's the secretary and CEO of the Phi Beta Kappa Society, and both of these, of course, are in D.C. These are the predictions that he has that he told me. He said rioters at the Capitol on January 6th could be charged with unlawful entry, curfew violations, and for some, firearms-related crimes. There are more serious charges that will apply to certain of the rioters as well, assault, aggravated assault, manslaughter, and even murder. This is, again, coming from Mr. Lawrence. He says, I think that there is a very substantial chance of many convictions coming out of these events. Prosecutorial offices have devoted significant resources and have access to a large video record of these events. Again, that's coming from Frederick Lawrence, distinguished lecturer at Georgetown University Law Center.
I find it very interesting that you pointed out in an article this week the impact that the riots have had on the best-selling list at Amazon.
Yes, I think we're certainly not only in a cultural moment, but a little bit of an identity crisis here, because the number one book on the Amazon list of best-selling books is a classic dystopian novel, 1984, number one on Amazon. That tells you a whole lot about what people are thinking. You have to remember this book was written in 1949. Of course, George Orwell is the author here. It emerges number one on Amazon's list of the top 100 bestsellers. Yes, it was in first place. It might have dropped down one or two, but it keeps coming back up. But wait, there's one more I've got to tell you about. the United States Constitution is number 4 on the bestseller list. That also tells you a lot about what people are thinking. And another interesting book on tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century. This is described as a, quote, guide for surviving and resisting America's turn towards authoritarianism. That's at number 5. That was penned by Timothy Snyder in 2017. And one last one, Mr. Orwell's Animal Farm, also in the top 20. It was rated number 18 on the bestsellers list. That was written 75 years ago. It kind of just tells you what people are thinking about. And I wasn't the only one that noticed this as well. Joseph Curl, he's a columnist for the Daily Signal. He says the irony that 1984 now tops the best-selling book list was not lost on Amazon users, he said, who filled the comment section with insightful remarks. He cited one of the remarks that said, a dystopian future in which a totalitarian regime keeps its citizens under total control, thought crime, doublespeak, telescreams, depressingly relevant in an age of fake news, identity politics, and social media. So, that's what people are reading now, and I think I'm going to check back in a couple of days and see where we stand.
Very interesting story. Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Follow her on Twitter while you still can at Harper Bulletin.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Have a good day, everybody. Make sure that you do, and thanks for listening.
I'm sorry, I was only kidding there. We've got Jim Trusty coming up next, but first, Michelle Murray's in the WML Traffic Center at 646.
Earlier incidents on the inner loop of the Beltway between Ritchie Marlboro Road and Allentown Road cleared. You should now find all travel lanes open. If you're traveling on westbound 66 at the off-ramp to go into 123, reports of a disabled vehicle on the left side, so stay to your right and use caution there. Also in Loudoun County, a portion of Hamilton Station Road is closed just north of the Charlestown Pike due to a serious accident. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Changes have arrived for the weekend. This morning won't be too bad, temperatures in the 30s with a mix of sun and clouds, but this afternoon will top off in the mid-40s with mostly cloudy skies, and a stray rain or snow shower isn't out of the question. Back near the freezing mark with increasing winds and partly cloudy skies tonight. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
36 degrees in the nation's capital, 647 on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you for joining us this morning. And it's always great to have Jim Trusty join us. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. He is the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, great to have you with us this morning.
Thanks. Good morning.
So for people watching the impeachment, many people watched it sort of from an emotional standpoint. Many people watched it from a political standpoint. You watched it from a legal standpoint. And what struck you about the impeachment from an attorney's perspective?
Well, the first thing that's really striking me about it is the speed. You know, this concept of a snap impeachment, which, you know, to me is an oxymoron. There should not be anything that we can refer to as a snap impeachment. It doesn't matter who's in the chair. And to move this quickly without the benefit of real investigation or real evidence is a problem. And it's a precedent. You know, it's a horrible precedent for how we've cheapened impeachment. I thought the last impeachment cheapened the currency because we didn't have a crime. And I'm a firm believer that the Constitution means what it says when it talks about bribery, treason, high crimes, and misdemeanors. Now, I know there's a very long-running debate about whether criminal activity is what we're talking about necessarily, or if it's limited to that. But even in this impeachment, they're using the language of a specific statute. So they're proving up a crime as a basis to disqualify him. And I think we've lost this notion of consistency and fairness of process, which is really the cornerstone to justice. I heard congressmen on both sides of the aisle say, I'm not going to stand on process. Well, somebody needs to. And I guess it's me this morning, but I think that somebody needs to stand on process, because that's going to be the guarantor of fairness in the long run in this country, is having a predictable and consistent process.
Last time I checked, you were innocent until proven guilty. The term snap impeachment, is that a technical term, or is that just a term that's been coined by the media?
Just one that's been coined by the media. There's no constitutional basis or anything else. And you know, it's like when I hear the phrase perjury trap, I'm like, why does this exist? We shouldn't have these things. And so snap impeachment is kind of the summary version of rushing to judgment, and I'm not a fan of it.
So suppose you had gotten a call to defend the president in this past week's impeachment proceedings. What would your defense have been?
Well, there's a lot. I think there's actually a pretty good handful of legitimate defenses here. I mean, one defense that I think is definitely available to them, where a lot of lawyers and even a retired judge from the Fourth Circuit have talked about this, is just the pure ability to even impeach someone, or actually remove or disqualify someone who is no longer in high office. And Judge Luttig from the Fourth Circuit, or retired from the Fourth Circuit, wrote a pretty passionate opinion piece about how Article 1 and Article 2 of the Constitution talks about present tense, that you cannot go after someone after they've actually lost that office or resigned from that office. And I think that's an interesting argument. The problem is, it's not perfectly crystal clear. And in 1876, we had an impeachment of a Secretary of War who had actually already resigned before the impeachment and then the trial took place. He was acquitted, so we never really got to see the last part of the equation, whether he could be disqualified from further office. But there is at least some factual precedent within the world of impeachment that people could point to challenge that. But I think if you're defending the president, you're absolutely pushing that. It's creating a record to show that this is completely wrongheaded to talk about disqualification if the person is no longer in office. Beyond that, I think that the face of the impeachment article is this incitement to insurrection crime that doesn't apply here. And that's because if you track it as a criminal statute, and it's in the U.S. Code, it requires a couple of things. One is that you have a specific intent to cause violent insurgence or insurrection, a violent overthrow of the government. I'm not convinced that no matter how bad the president's reaction was, no matter how mistaken some of his comments were during the day of the 6th and the days that followed, that they arise to the level of a specific intent to cause violent harm or violent insurrection. I'm not sure I quite see that. But even more fundamentally, when you look at the words, when you're talking about incitement, you have to look at precisely at the words that were spoken, and they are given their reasonable and ordinary construction. So what that means is, if the president says, I want you to march down there and be peaceful, you can't turn that into a dog whistle for march down there and be violent. His words are the key to that crime. And so, you know, again, in popular opinion, you can say, oh, it's that horrible man, that horrible orange man, this is what he meant. But if you're talking about it from a legal perspective, there is no crime here to call for a peaceful assembly. So I think it's the stuff of like a motion to dismiss in a civil case. And I would be interested to see if the lawyers representing the president approach it that way and say, hey, we're not getting to the merits of anything yet because they have on its face a defective charging document. The other thing is, I mean, I still think it would be an avenue to defend him to talk very much about how the evidence has not been developed. I mean, this rush to judgment is like a criminal trial a week after the crime took place. And in this particular matter, we're hearing all these updates about hundreds of people being arrested, all with different types of roles or actions on the Hill. And we're also hearing different standards or different descriptions, I should say, of what the evidence is. And the evidence of what happened on the Hill could affect the way we view any sort of incitement allegation. In other words, if they had planned it a month before, the worst actors, if they said, we're going to go down there and cause violence, no matter what their politics, if they planned it before the president even opened his mouth, that would affect the way I think we would view his incitement. Conversely, maybe they found, you know, they find some evidence that the president was, sending text messages, say, carry your spear and put your buffalo hat on. I mean, I don't think that stuff happened, but this is the risk of racing to judgment when you don't really know the full story and the full evidence. So I think there's a lot of kind of preliminary but substantive things that could be raised by the attorney long before we get to the question of whether he used good judgment or said things that were appropriate or inappropriate on the 6th and 7th.
Well, Jim, the investigation, this is probably the most photographed crime that I can think of ever having taken place, with the number of cameras that are in the Capitol to begin with, and then all the people that were doing the rioting are shooting live stream and taking videos. So there's probably just about every angle of coverage. What does that mean when it comes to charges and the investigation? I mean, we saw one guy throwing a fire extinguisher at police officers.
Yeah, I mean, look, as a former prosecutor, you know, you love to have good video. This is a huge digital dragnet, and there's a lot of man hours that go into reviewing all this type of stuff. But it seems to me, and not surprisingly, that the Capitol was well-stocked with video footage to review. And, you know, of course, you also have just traditional witnesses, police officers, other folks that were there that can say what they saw, what they heard. So it's a huge crime scene, as I think the U.S. attorney from D.C. referred to it. But that's a wealth of evidence and a wealth of information. And it's kind of reaching out and creating different charging decisions about whether they put people in superior court or federal court. I believe most are heading towards federal court. And then, as we touched on last week, you've got people being arrested around the country and facing detention hearings and extradition hearings. And we're starting to see this kind of funnel of participants in the riot or in the violent component of the protest march being funneled back into Washington, D.C. under very unusual circumstances anyway right now. But they're starting to have their initial appearances and head towards court, and the judicial process is kicking in full scale.
So, Jim, there were documents released on Friday in the Russia probe, and a lot of people have been hoping that the Durham report would come out soon because there's some uncertainty as to whether it would ever come out in the new administration. So what exactly was released on Friday?
Well, Senator Graham released 11 transcripts of interviews from the Senate investigation into FISA abuse and all the related matters during the transition into the Trump presidency. And so these are interviews not necessarily fully unredacted because there's still classification issues and some other issues, but it's a deeper dive, a deeper release of what that committee was able to find when they essentially condemned the behavior of the FBI in doing this probe. Now, this is a parallel track to John Durham. It's really not necessarily equatable to him. He probably has all this information. He's probably interviewed a number of the people that are implicated in it. But there's no real direct correlation between the release of information from Graham's committee and where Durham stands right now.
Well, as I introduced the question, Jim, I said, you know, some people are concerned that maybe a report would never see the light of day. Even if it was submitted, it may not necessarily see the light of day. Well, how would that play out?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And I think the way this is going to play out is a serious integrity test for Merrick Garland, assuming he's the attorney general at that time. You know, when the special counsel designation came in for Durham, I guess it was acted on back in October but announced more recently, that basically created the statutory chain of events where Durham will write up his prosecution memo or his non-prosecution memo, give it to the attorney general, who is obliged to share that with parts of Congress. Now, when Barr had that exact situation with the Mueller report, Barr shared it with Congress, as he was obliged to do, but then shared it with the general public, which he's allowed to do under the general counsel statute. So this is going to be a real test, I think, sometime in early to mid-2021, when Durham finalizes his investigation and reports it up the chain to Merrick Garland. The attorney general at that point will have a huge decision, which is whether or not to share it with the general public. And I think that's the moment where we're going to know about his integrity, but we're also going to hopefully find out that there's a lot to be discovered when it comes to the investigation into the FISA abuse that has occupied Durham for these many months.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington, D.C. You can follow him on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer. Jim, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. 7 o'clock news next on WMAL.
Hi, this is Greg Smith of the Wise Investor Group. For over 20 years, we've taken important steps to ensure we remain ready to meet the investment and wealth management needs of our clients. We expect the financial markets to remain uncertain until more is known about the virus and its full impact on the global economy. We'll be keeping you informed in the weeks ahead as the situation continues to unfold. You'll find updates, including commentary from our market experts at thewiseinvestorgroup.com.
Call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
I like a
bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 smart bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
It senses your movement and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. The Queen Sleep Number 360 C2 smart bed is only $8.99, plus special financing and free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.